Geek Radio Daily for Weekend Eve, right? You know, some of us started the week with a little, we had that little curve point thing, and now we're just coasting, just, you know, carooning onto, is carooning a word? Carooning to the weekend? Does that make sense?
I think so.
Works for me. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 4th of February. We're the fine folks from geekradiodaily.com. And we're here bringing it to you today, rocking on with the only people that know how to do it. The man that always cheers everybody up at work and keeps them steady. That there's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Rock on, brother.
I told you. Rock on. That's his mantra. It's how it happens. Me, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
People like this are a menace to decent society.
Well, I don't think they're that damn decent. What happened this fine day, sir?
Well, in 1789, George Washington is unanimously elected as the first president of the United States by the U.S. Electoral College.
No one else looms quite as large. 1847, in Maryland, the first telegraph company is established.
In 1859, the Codex Sinaiticus is discovered in Egypt.
Oh, that was the world's first pyramid scheme. 1890, Thomas Edison is issued a patent for the quadruplex telegraph. The new telegraph is designed to transmit and receive 4 independent signals over a single wire, 2 in one direction, 2 in the opposite direction. You hear the joke in my head now.
In 1902, Thomas Edison is issued a patent for a reversible galvanic battery, a battery with a revolutionary large capacity for its weight.
1936, radium E, the first synthetic radioactive substance, is first produced in the U.S. by Dr. John Jacob Livingood at the University of California at Berkeley, by bombarding the element bismuth with neutrons, and oddly enough, did not end up living good.
In 1938, Disney's Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs is released in theaters.
1957, the first electric portable typewriter, the Model 5TE, is introduced by Smith Corona in Syracuse, New York, typing capital of the world.
In 1971, NASA astronauts Alan Shepard and Edgar Mitchell land on the moon aboard the Apollo 14 lunar module Antares.
Let's play some golf. 1989, the final game for the Sega Master System 8-bit video game console Bomber Raid is released, and lots of people were mourning.
In 1994, Swedish Prime Minister Carl Bildt sends an email to U.S. President Bill Clinton, marking the first email exchange between two heads of state.
1998, Bill Gates gets a pie to the face while in Brussels, Belgium.
2004, Harvard University sophomore Mark Zuckerberg founded the social networking site Facebook using the domain thefacebook.com. He immediately went back to his dorm to eat some crickets.
2008, Intel announces the creation of the first microchip to contain more than 2 billion transistors. So see, they could put a tracking thing in the vaccine. Birthdays?
Rob Corddry's 50. From The Daily Show, Old School, Children's Hospital, Hot Tub Time Machine, Office, Christmas Party, and Ballers.
Gabrielle Anwar is 51 from Burn Notice and The Tudors.
She was also in the Disney's The Three Musketeers.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, one of my all-time favorite movies. Jeanette Goldstein is 61. Vasquez in Aliens.
Goodness. Adrian King is 66, best known for being Alice in Friday the 13th, but she's made a whole career out of voice looping for a crazy ton amount of movies.
That's true. Patrick Bergen is 70. He was the better Robin Hood.
Yep.
Sleeping with the Enemy, Patriot Games, Lawnmower Man 2, and Highway to Hell.
Michael Beck is 72 from The Warriors, Megaforce, and was Lancelot in Excalibur.
That's right, he was. I totally forgot about that. Oh, wow. Born this day, no longer with us, in 1895, Nigel Bruce, he was a British actor, was Watson in the Basil Rathbone Sherlock Holmes flicks.
1902, Charles Lindbergh, an American pilot and explorer.
In 1906, Clyde Tombaugh, American astronomer and academic, discovered Pluto.
Guess his eyes were bigger than his stomach. 1915, William Talmon, American actor and screenwriter, played D.A. Hamilton Burger on Perry Mason.
1923, Conrad Bain, Canadian-American actor from Maude and Different Strokes.
1936, David Brenner, an American comedian, actor, and author.
1920, Janet Waldo, a voice actor. Of course, most famously is Josie on Josie and the Pussycats.
1940, George A. Romero, who brought us Night of the Living Dead, The Crazies, and Creepshow.
Father of the modern zombie right there.
Right.
On CBS, we've got a new Young Sheldon, another Young Sheldon mom, new The Unicorn and Star Trek Discovery.
Tonight on ABC, you get 3 episodes of Celebrity Family Feud. Take a value.
NBC has a new Mr. Mayor, Superstore, El Nosvu, and Dateline WB.
Fox, it's a new Hell's Kitchen, Call Me Cat, and Last Man Standing.
CW, Walker's childhood best friend, Hoyt Rollins, returns to the city And while Abilene is excited he's back, Jerry has conflicted feelings concerning her former boyfriend on Walker, followed by Legacies.
If it was Walker Legacies, that'd be kind of interesting. Freeform, Aaron is offered an opportunity to be featured in a nationally televised interview, but struggles to keep his message targeted on a new Grownish.
AMC has The Bourne Identity.
Bravo will have Reunion Part 2, because one couldn't do it alone, on a new Southern Charm.
FX has Equalizer 2.
FXX has a Simpsons marathon of various episodes. I bet Bart's naughty and Homer does something dumb.
FXM has Assassin's Creed.
BBC America has Troy, edited for television.
Siffy has Twister.
TBS, go out with a bang on a new Go Big show.
TNT has Basketball.
True TV tonight, Joel McHale will be on Fast Foodies, where chefs try to replicate your favorite fast food items.
VH1 has Boys in the Hood.
Sundance has a new Mysteries of the Abandoned, but we're going to be watching the Hallmark Channel because a city girl prepares to write a magazine feature on a glamping resort, and seeing as she is far from the sporty type, she becomes afraid to try the camp's activities until she gets some help from a rugged outdoorsman and nature guide. Emil Ullerip and Christopher Russell star in Nature of Love. What kind of sports do you play when you're glamping?
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Abby finds herself dealing with trying to run the office while Jack volunteers to join JG on a trip he booked for him and his ex-wife a year in advance. Unfortunately for Abby, the situation of being in charge is made worse, as is the trip her dad and bro were on. But in the end, Jack decides to make Abby a full-time partner, just in time for Kate to give Abby a long-awaited surprise gift that she ordered long before the fiasco. Abby is so happy and still surprised, but Jack knew that she was ready for better things. She could make billions. He just asked her to impress me. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Don't you have a letter to read or something?
Hi, geeks. I love your comments about the new production of 1984 and how they could point a camera out a window and how that still doesn't mean our times are Orwellian. Is Grim Fandango the one about a motorcycle company where the main character is a biker? I've watched online... No. That was Full Throttle, I think. Watched online as Florida cartoonist Jen Whitmore has played through it while raising funds for Big Cat Rescue years before Tiger King. It's a great game. I've also watched someone play through a LucasArts game in which Indiana Jones goes to Atlantis. That's Fate of Atlantis, and that game's awesome.
Yes.
I'd be happy to watch Mothlin's spelling on YouTube or Twitch. Finally got to see Naked Space and Attack of the Killer Tomatoes this weekend. The first was amazingly funny on such a low budget. The latter had its moments and was generally fun, no regrets. Stay safe. We'll try to join you for Jackbox games, especially as the George Davies Memorial Riffs campaign has moved from Friday nights. That is from Bill. Bill, I'm glad you got to see Naked Space, because everyone should see the epic musical moment of I Want to Eat Your Face. We also have this.
Hey, geeks, this is Adam calling in response to Bronze Bum's call on the Monday show. For me, I have also been agonized by the week-to-week wait for WandaVision episodes, but in a very good way. Like, for me, the anticipation of getting that next episode makes it all the more delicious when it finally drops and we see what new sitcom situation they are in or whatnot. I do love the streaming services that go ahead and release everything all at once. And if that's their business model, that's great, and I'll binge watch to my heart's content. But I also appreciate Disney Plus and what they're doing with The Mandalorian and WandaVision, and going to be continuing on with the other Marvel and Star Wars projects, and just giving us little drops every week, because it makes the whole experience last that much longer. Anyway, y'all have a good one. Take care.
Well, you know, I just love the fact that for WandaVision, it was kind of like Lost. We're actually sitting around for days discussing symbolisms that we believe is actually there.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I want it all right now, but I know it's better for me if I wait, savor, let it just kind of wash over me sometimes. That's one of the problems with a lot of the stuff that we have now. We just want it all right now. But man, if you can just let it simmer for a little bit, think of it, all the kind of different angles and stuff like that, then find out if you're right or wrong, that's a good thing.
You cook a roast in a crock pot. Thanks to everyone who came out for game night. Hell yeah, Alan Tudyk. John Cena was in Trainwreck? I didn't see him. That is from Mark. Well, Mark, that's because he was so in character. He's the guy, Sam, Steven, something or another, that you know, that she's sort of kind of seeing on the side.
Billy, it's a joke because the youngsters, myself being one of them, of course, we know online that the meme is that you can't see John Cena because when he's in the wrestling ring, he has a catchphrase that says, "You can't see me," and then he waves his hand in front of his face. That's why Mark didn't see him.
Oh, that was a Mark joke. No wonder I didn't laugh. If you'd like to drop a note, won't you please send one over to podcast@geekradiodaily.com or, of course, a voicemail or text message. We'll go to the magic numbers.
510-GRD-CURL.
Don't listen to the boomer. I'm with you, fellow young kids. You want to go skateboards?
Mike Luoma's Glow-in-the-Dark Radio brings you free audio science fiction adventure every week. Written and performed by Mike Luoma since 2006. Right now, hear the special new audio version of Mike's Vatican Assassin 15th Anniversary Edition with special voice cameos. Paul E. Cooley.
If I have to kill you, I don't want to know.
Veronica Jaguar.
Una Prime remains neutral in spite
Keith
of
Keith Hughes.
He needs to know the danger in the situation.
Starla Hutchton.
Do you have to stay celibate?
John Miro.
You can stop here, but there is a price.
Dave Robinson.
I know what kind of scum you really
and
are.
Scott Sigler.
Of course this is an assassination, Mark. They killed her.
Helping me, Mike Luoma, bring the story to life. Hear the chapters week by week with my commentary on the podcast. Or grab the audiobook now, wherever audiobooks are sold. Also available in paperback and as an ebook. Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition. Listen now on Mike Luoma's Glow in the Dark Radio podcast. Go to glowinthedarkradio.com. Or look for Glow in the Dark Radio wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hello, I'm Robert Picardo, and for reasons I can't fathom, you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
I mean, you could have lost a bet. Or you just know quality when you see it and decided to listen to us anyway.
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada. Get ready. Prepare for blastoff.
One thing I knew is that my allies and I had just obliterated the largest horde of rabid zombies I'd ever encountered, and then suddenly, Chief Wiggum 49 and Halo is my bitch 12 decided to frag me.
Well, just get them back. That's what video gaming's all about. What can we play this week, sir?
Well, we've got Werewolf, the Apocalypse, Earthblood. It's a World of Darkness-based action RPG planned for release in 2020, but had to wait until 2021. It's developed by Cyanide Studios. It's available for the PC, S5, and the Xbox Series XS.
So if a game's not ready, you can just wait and not release it immediately? Huh. How about that Cyberpunk 2077?
Or do what everybody else does, release it now, and then offer DLC that fixes things for $5 each.
Kowloon High School Chronicle, a dungeon crawler RPG with adventure game segments where the player can increase their relationships with other characters for the Switch.
Blue Fire. A dark world awaits. Travel through the perished world of Penumbra to explore unique areas filled with diverse enemies, sharp 3D platforming challenges, quests, collectibles, and more. Now for the PC and Switch.
Nioh 2. Master the lethal arts of the samurai as a mysterious half-human, half-supernatural yokai warrior in a challenging RPG sequel that is now on the PC.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Cartoonist Adam Ellis, famous for his long-running series of cartoons you've probably seen on BuzzFeed, claims that two independent filmmakers, Andrew Butler and the too-many-named James Andrew McKenzie Wilson, their award-winning short film, Keratin, which features a man bearing his fingernail and a clone somehow growing from the nail, was ripped off from a comic he made.
But get in line. Avatar is still being yelled at by Dances with Wolves, Fern Gully, Arcady, and Boris Stugatsky's Noon Universe. You're welcome, Russian sci-fi fans.
The film was posted on the website Director's Notes, which featured curated independent films along with interviews with the filmmakers about their films. After the interview and the film were posted, Ellis went to Twitter going, "This film is a fully plagiarized shot-for-shot remake of my comic. The filmmakers didn't ask for my permission to adapt the work. They didn't even notify me they were doing so until the film had been released and was winning awards at film festivals."
When asked if the filmmakers promised to never let this happen in the future, they replied, "Never say never again."
Ellis then shared 8 distinctive parts of his comic and showed the corresponding part of the finished film that copied his comic's imagery.
All right, let me pull this up and see how much you're exaggerating. Oh, wow. Wow, even using panel-for-panel shots from the film. Huh, what a bunch of jerks. Disturbi at least tried to clean their rear window.
He continued, they emailed me in October when the film was making festival rounds and asked me to help promote it. When I said I don't approve of this and asked them to pull it, they ghosted me for months. They premiered it now, didn't credit my name. The comic they sold this is deeply personal to me and maybe the most personal thing I've ever done. I drew it shortly after I left my day job because of disputes over ownership of my personal work. This comic is about self-care, reinvention, and personal growth.
Well, in fairness, this sounds like he ripped off Days of Thunder. Wait, I mean Top Gun.
Some festivals have pulled the film, and the main actor in the film said he wasn't aware it was plagiarized and never would have signed on if he knew. However, Ellis noted that he was not currently pursuing litigation. He just wants the film pulled, and for the filmmakers to have to watch The Roommate, Wishmaster, then Mac and Me. I mean, who do those guys think they are? Disney?
Shazam star Zachary Levi will have a starring role in Sony Pictures' live-action film adaptation of Harold and the Purple Crayon.
And the moon went with him.
Based on the book, because they got the rights, of the same name by Crockett Johnson, Harold and the Purple Crayon will follow the adventures of a young boy named Harold who uses a magic purple crayon to create worlds.
Needless to say, Prince's favorite book. Well, after The Watchtower and Kama Sutra, of course.
David Guyon and Michael Handelman from Night of the Museum, Secret of the Tomb, will write the screenplay for Harold and the Purple Crayon, while John Davies will produce through his Davies Entertainment production company. Davies' credits include Dolomite Is My Name and the upcoming Jungle Cruise for Disney, while Guyon and Handelman also wrote the Netflix family film Slumberland, which stars Jason Momoa.
Ooh, gotta make sure I don't sleep that one.
A film version of Harold and the Purple Crayon has been in development hell for years, with multiple production companies, including Steven Spielberg's Amblin Entertainment and Will Smith's Overbrook, attempting to develop the film. The book was adapted into an animated series in 2002, and it seems like his film is finally getting made. It's been a long journey to this point for Harold, but luckily, he kept his wits and his purple crayon.
Idris Elba and his wife Sabrina have closed a deal with the current home for streaming anime, Crunchyroll, to develop the dark fantasy series Dante.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
The Afrofuturistic sci-fi series is set in a city where the rise of biotechnology has created a gap between the haves and the have-nots.
Wakanda's Metropolis?
The series will explore equality and kinship throughout the story of two rising stars on either side of the divide who are pitted against one another.
So, Highlander, but no heads have to roll.
The Elbas will executive produce through his Green Door Pictures and her Pink Towel Productions label. The deal comes as Crunchyroll is being prepared to be sold by Sony's Funimation, and with a project like Dante having this much interest could increase the price of Crunchyroll by like 37%.
Two Massachusetts high schoolers are being recognized for making a major astronomical discovery, finding 4 new planets outside our solar system.
That's no moon!
Kartik Pingley, 16, and Jasmine Wright, 18, helped confirm the existence of the exoplanets and recently published a scientific paper on their findings. To conduct the research, the amateur astronomers paired with a real-world scientist as part of the Student Research Mentoring Program at the Center for Astrophysics, Harvard, and Smithsonian.
I really admire them for helping out the students this way, but SRMPCAS is a terrible acronym.
The team began by analyzing heaps of data from the Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellites, or TESS.
Which is a much better acronym!
A space-based satellite that orbits the Earth and surveys nearby bright stars in the hopes of finding new planets focusing on a bright sun-like star, spotted by TESS, dubbed TOI-1233, to see if planets were rotating around it, and to their surprise, the group discovered 4 planets orbiting around the star, which is some 200 light years away from Earth.
That is awesome! Wait, they did clean the lens to make sure, right?
The teens may be the youngest astronomers to make such a find, according to astrochemist Clara Sousa Silva, who directs the mentoring program. Thanks to a partnership with the City of Cambridge, the students were paid 4 hours per week to complete the research, making them professional astronomers. So how does that make you feel? They're 16 and 18. All you're doing is learning Klingon for free and sitting in an expensive cosplay outfit looking at pictures of Uranus.
Hemp Earth, the Canadian cannabis firm, has designed the world's first plane made and powered by hemp. the non-psychoactive member of the cannabis family 10 times stronger than steel.
Yeah, but that doesn't make DuPont any money, so...
The plane with a wingspan of 36 feet can hold one pilot and four passengers. Everything from the seats, the wings, the plane walls, even the pillows are made from hemp. And what's more, it runs on 100% hemp oil.
My hemp pillow? I bet they're allowed to tweet, because it deals with something other than what Mike Pillow deals with.
Hemp is lighter than traditional aerospace materials like aluminum and fiberglass and require less fuel to reach higher altitudes. Most importantly, hemp is non-toxic, sustainable, requires way less water and land to grow than cotton, and compared to steel to carbon fiber, has almost no environmental impact.
Not to mention that 1 acre of hemp can produce as much paper as 4 to 10 acres of trees over a 20-year cycle. Jell-O Biafra was right, folks.
Hemp Earth is also developing hemp composites in Montreal, which could replace all fiberglass in aviation and other industries such as construction. It recently turned down DuPont as they, quote, don't and never will sign or work with fascist companies that are associated with military, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, and or the military industrial complex.
Oh, but they're fine with the rest of the pentaverts, such as the Queen, the Vatican, the Gettys, and Colonel Sanders before he went tits up.
Hemp plane. And when that's completed, its first flight is set to take place at the birthplace of aviation, the Wright Brothers Memorial in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. So get ready for high flying with a new type of plane, even if you will not be high flying. GRD is licensed with Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekrealdata.com. I mean... I guess if you bring a carry-on, I can't stop you. But I don't know, you know, TSA, they're looking for stuff.
And before you get upset about that story, folks, remember, hemp actually used to be a currency here in the United States. People used to pay their taxes with it. But what else did they do, Flynn?
The American flag, the Constitution. George Bush jumped out of a plane with a parachute made of hemp. Grow more hemp. Jell-O Biafra, we love you. Drop us a note, please. Tell us what you do with hemp. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, give us recipes. Tell us all about it. Use the numbers.
510-GRD-CURL.
And we'll see you.
This has been the saddest excuse for entertainment I've ever seen.
Primary power offline in 30 seconds.
Well, I've always liked the monster within idea. I like the zombies being us. It's like... zombies are the blue-collar monsters.
For God's sakes, he missed me again! Oh, cut! Are you blind, man?
Like this.
Ow!
Oh. See?
Get back to hair and makeup. You don't look dead enough.
Come on, let's go.
That ain't in the script.
Years ago, I did research for a World War II movie. I came across some old Nazi documents. I couldn't believe what I was reading. Element 115, necromancers, raising the dead, real creepy stuff.
Completely surrounded! Come on!
The coolest thing? Some of that crazy shit happened right here.